So of course we're going to talk about tshuva. But before I get to tshuva, I'd like to talk a little bit for 2 minutes about this week's parsha. So this week's parsha is Parsha's Kisavo. The parsha talks about when you come to Eretz Yisrael, a lot of girls flying out this week, going to Eretz Yisrael for seminary, right? This week's parsha is V'hoyu Kisavo L'Oretz, when you will come to the land, to Eretz Yisrael. Hashem Elokecha Noisein Lach. The land that Hashem, your God, gave to you. And Nachala, where you wish to be Shafta Ba. Then the next pasuk says the following. You will take from the first of all the fruits, Asher Tovim Ma'atzecha, that you will bring from your land, again, Asher Hashem Elokecha Noisein Lach, that Hashem, your God, gave to you. You already said that in the first pasuk. You said, Kisav Elo'aretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Noisein Lach. L'cha. Now you're saying again, Asher Hashem Elokecha Noisein Lach. You should put it into a basket. Okay. Next pasuk. You'll come to the Kohen, Hashem Yomahim, that's in those days, Ramat Elov, and you'll say to him, I came to the land, guess what? Hashem Nishba Hashem Lavasein, Allah says Lanu, the land that Hashem swore to our fathers to give to us. Very repetitive that the pasuk keeps telling us, right, of that we're going to Eretz Yisrael, the land that the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave to us. So I'd like to tell you a story. I was really going to say it last night by the boys Chavura, but I didn't. So you're the first one to hear it. So you know that I spoke Tisha B'Av, and I spoke about the situation in the mountains. The whole situation, there was a pool hall. Went to this pool hall, girls, boys, and there was bowling alleys and all kinds of stories. And everybody said, don't even bother, you can't change these things. Baruch Hashem, I was going to bring a big picture, I'm going to bring it next week in Mitzvah Hashem. But I would just like to tell you a story. So on the third week in the mountains, there was this pool hall in Monticello. I'm not going to give the name of the pool hall. It's not important, the name of the pool hall. But there was a pool hall in Monticello on the main street of Monticello. And there were 250 boys and girls that were hanging out in this pool hall. And in the back of the pool, there was a dance club. It was terrible. It was like Sedayim, a terrible, terrible place. The Markum Znus, a place of Znus, a place of drinking, a place of drugs. Terrible, terrible situation. I spoke about it on Tisha B'Av. So we went to Rav David Feinstein. What are we going to do about this? 250 kids, Jewish kinderlach, that are acting in such a way in public. And we came up with a plan. What was the plan? The plan was that we should go, a bunch of balabatim, a bunch of men and a bunch of women, married couples, and we should go down to the pool hall, and we should talk to the kids, and we should make them uncomfortable. By being there, a bunch of married people, they know, you know my uncle, you know my aunt, I better get out of here. So Rav David felt that if we come and we're a bunch of couples and we mean it sincerely, a lot of the people, the kids who are doing the bad things, you can't stop them. But all the kids that were getting out of their cars, party, let's check it out. He called them the tourists, you know, young 14, 15, 16-year-old kids, that they would see us and they would say, oh, he knows my mother, I'm not getting out of the car, and that's my aunt, their cousin. So we figured that would be a way to stop them. Not by criticizing them, not by giving them a hard time, but by being there and showing them that we care. So, fine. So I went to Rav David Feinstein, he's the Gadol Hador in America, and I have to tell you the whole story so you understand the whole story. So in his yeshiva, in Tiferes Yerushalayim on the east side, so in the old yeshiva world, because they were learning all the time, so their mincha was called a short Shmoneh Esrei. What does that mean? Normally when we daven Shmoneh Esrei with a minyan, so everyone davens quietly, then the chazan davens and he repeats the whole Shmoneh Esrei. It takes time. In the old days in yeshiva, because they were learning all the time, so they had what's called a short Shmoneh Esrei, which meant that the chazan would start, before you would daven your own private Shmoneh Esrei, the chazan would start, go to Kedusha, you'd say Kedusha, and then he would go into quiet, and then everybody would go quiet, so they wouldn't repeat the whole Shmoneh Esrei. So it's 5 minutes shorter, whatever it was, it's called a short Shmoneh Esrei. I personally don't daven that Shmoneh Esrei because there's 18, 16, whatever, all mains that you miss because the chazan doesn't do chazaras hashatz. So the week before, I was with Rav David Feinstein the week before this, and you go to him, when you want to speak to him, you go before Mincha. So he gave us an appointment at 12:30. Mincha's at 1:30. So when he came to Mincha, I walked out. I spoke to him and I left because I don't daven short Shmoneh Esrei. I figured out. Now my father told me a long time ago, when I was younger, that you never walk away from a minyan. If it's a short Shmoneh Esrei, if it's a little earlier than Shkia, never walk away from a minyan. If you're in a minyan, if you're there, don't walk out. Even if you have a plan to go to another minyan, because in the end, you're going to have a problem. The week before, I walked out. I'm not davening such a short meeting. To make a long story short, I got caught in this, got caught in that, got caught in traffic. Ended up davening mincha that day, like 25 minutes after the sun went down, in Satmar on the way up to the mountains in Monroe. It was. I got totally messed up. And I realized that short Shemona Esrei, if it's good enough for Rav David Feinstein, you know, who do you think you are? You know, I need a long Shemona Esrei, you know? So that week, 6 weeks ago, I decided, after speaking to Rav David Feinstein, we made up this plan, I'm not leaving, I'm going to daven mincha. So I daven mincha Rav David with the minyan and yeshiva. We finished the minyan. And not like him, he came running over to me right after Aleinu, and he said, I would like to speak to you in my room. And I said, okay, I was there with other guys. I said, can they come also? He said, no, just you. I just want to speak to you. But I want you to meet somebody. So he takes me into his room, and the head coordinator of the East Side Hatzalah is diamonds in that minyan also. And Rav Doppelfein said, I want you to meet him. Rabbi Wallenstein, listen, I like your plan that you're going to go Matzah Shabbos to this pool hall, all the boys and girls are, and you're going to bring people, but you're going to rent out, I rented out the bowling alley that night. How are the girls going to get, let's say you get to the pool and there's girls and boys, and you want to tell the girls that there's a place to go for just girls, how are they going to get from Monticello to Kayamisha? So we have to have transportation. So I said, yeah, don't worry, my friends, I'll have them go out with their wives, and we'll be available, any girl that says, okay, I want to get out of here, I want to go to the bowling alley, we'll give her a ride. But David said, I'm not so comfortable with that. Because you don't know who's going to come, where they're going to come from. Maybe the girl's going to say something happened in the car. Maybe, you know, we don't want any trouble. So this is what I want. I want Hatzalah to do all the transportation. Here's the guy on the east side. He's the coordinator. You have a meeting with Hatzalah of the mountains. And if we're going to move from the pool hall, people to the bowling alley, or from Walmart, people to the bowling alley, wherever you're going to move girls in the mountains to bring them to your bowling alley, should be done by a Hatzalah member with his wife. Because they have to answer to the head guy, not Solo. So it's an organized transportation system. Okay, David Feinstein's a girl out there. If that's what you want, fine. So we had a meeting Friday before that Shabbos, and we had a meeting with all the Hatzalah guys, and we said, we don't want you guys to do Kiruv. You know, they were like, I don't know how to do Kiruv. I'm a Hatzalah guy. You know, like, you know how to bring a person back to life when he's dying. You should, you know, it's not so hard to do Kiruv. Because you don't have to be a professional. It's a very big misnomer. What you need to do is put your hand on, well, not the girls, but on the guys, put your hand on one of the guy's shoulders and say, you know, how are you? What's doing? I care about you. There's no such thing as a professional. But, you know, the world is very scared of Kiruv. Because, like, what am I going to say? I don't know what to say. You don't need to say nothing. You just have to show that you care. Okay, anyway, they were very uncomfortable. I said, don't say nothing. Just, you need a ride. That's it. And give them a ride. Fine. That much is Shabbos. We come to the pool hall, total of 8 couples. That's all that came out. Total of 8 couples. Everybody was very uncomfortable. I don't agree with this. This is not the way to do it. Everybody had opinions. The whole mountains, everybody had opinions. This is not the way to do it. There's got to be other ways. Let's have a meeting. Let's have a discussion. It doesn't work that way. Pinchas ben Aaron HaKoyen, he got up. He took a sword. He took a roimach biyadai. He did what he had to do. And Hashem said, Bisi Shalom. By the time you finish discussing what you have to do, the night's over. Right? It doesn't work that way. So, I got 8 couples to go with me. One of my friends, myself, whatever. So we went. We come to this pool hall, and the place is a party. Total party. Now, in the back of the pool hall, there's a club. And all the kids are in the club, and they're dancing, and you can hear what's going on over there. So, me and a couple of guys, we said, we'd like to go into the club. We want to go into the club. We want to see what's going on. There's a couple of boys that I know that are there, a couple of girls. We're going to make them uncomfortable. I'm going to walk into a club. You're going to see Rabbi Wallenstein. You're going to get very uncomfortable. And that's what I was going to do. I want to make them uncomfortable. Okay, we come to the door. The guy says, no. You can't go into the club. You're too old. All right? No problem. But that's not what the problem was, of course. Anyway, to make a long story short, finally he says to me, he says, you really think the stuff going on back there, you could go into the back. You, Rabbi, you can go into the back, look around and leave right away. Okay. All of a sudden a guy comes running out. No, nobody comes into the back. Now we want you, rabbis, we want you all out of here. I said, what do you mean? I was in the pool hall. I was like, I'll shoot pool. What do you mean? What? No, we don't care what you want to do. We don't care. We don't want your money. We don't want you here. And they start pushing us out. Physically pushing us out. Then it starts getting a little, now all the guys are like, you know, I'm waiting for the seat. And the guy had three or four Mexican bouncers in this hall. And he tells the Mexican bouncers, throw all these rabbis out. So the Mexican bouncer goes, one of my friends is a big guy. He's been in more than one fight in his life. And he's ready to go at it. And I'm thinking to myself, this is not what Rav David Feinstein wants. We have kids here, Jewish kids. We don't want to make a Chil Hashem. This is not what we want. Pretty much, the bouncers, the Mexican bouncers, took me, this guy Shlomi Gross, another guy, Richie Berry, and physically threw us out of the pool hall and physically threw us down the steps. Fine, it's no problem. For Hashem, you go down the steps. You have to go down the steps. So there I am at the bottom of the steps, screaming at the top of my lungs at all the guys. I said, you see how you've fallen? They just took three rabbis, physically Mexicans. You watch Mexicans take three Jewish rabbis and throw them down the steps, and not one of you said a word. So I was beyond myself. I'm screaming at them. I'm like, forget about everything else. Look, not one of you stood up for me. Fine. Now the owner of the club looks down at us at the bottom of the steps, and he says, rabbis, you're not going to win this. I own Monticello. That's what he tells us. I own Monticello. There was a cop standing there, a Monticello cop, and he's giving us a hard time. Get out of here. You don't belong here. I'm like, you just saw a guy physically throw me down steps, and you're telling me I have to get out of here? And I saw right then and there, this guy owns Monticello. He owns the police. So I realized, this guy owns Monticello. And he's like, you don't know who you're starting up with? I own Monticello. And I said to myself, we'll see. Okay. So that was it. They threw us out. And the whole mountains, all the kids are talking. The rabbis get beat up, you know. Some kids were happy. Some kids were sad, whatever it was. Because we did the worst thing. We ruined their fun. Okay. Listen carefully. That's where I'm answering the question on Pashas Kisavo. So, the following week, we had a meeting. And at this meeting, we saw that this guy owns Monticello. He owned a lot of the people that we met with. We saw, I'm not saying Lashon Hara. I'm not saying what he is. And we met and we realized this guy has townhouses in Monticello. He's a very powerful man. And what he said was the truth. We did our investigating. We're there 8 weeks. This man lives up there. And he controls Monticello. He owns buildings and cars. And he knows everybody. He's connected to everybody. He is really a very powerful man. What can you do? Fine. Okay. Anyway, we went to him nicely. We said, listen. We don't want this, you know, this was ugly what happened with the Shabbos. It was ugly. Let us rent the pool hall. We don't want to take the fun away from the kids. We just don't like the boy and girl thing. We'll rent the pool hall for boys. We'll rent the bowling alley for girls. The girls can go to the bowling alley, have a good time. The boys can go to the pool hall and have a good time. And he agreed for a large amount of money. He's going to rent a Saturday night. We have the pool hall. How many kids showed up at the pool hall? 20. How many girls showed up at the bowling alley? 15. Because they weren't interested in bowling and shooting pool. They were interested in doing Averis. So what were we offering them? We weren't offering them Averis. So nobody showed up. So the following week, I got smart. And I hired Yossi Pimenta. And I said, Yossi Pimenta is going to be playing live with his band in the pool hall for guys. This place is going to be packed. Free. Yes, if you meant to free. Pool hall's free with pizza, free. Shooting pool, everything free. We paid for everything. Yossi Pimenta comes with his band. How many guys show up? 20. 20. Pimenta, free. Right? Unwired. Playing, nobody shows up. So that night, that's 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, so that Motzei Shabbos, I was there in the pool hall. This I own Monticello guy, who's now my friend because we're paying him big money to rent, says to me, you know, you're wrong, Rabbi. You see, you're wrong. Boys and girls need each other. And you're trying to stop something here that you can't stop. You see, you brought Pimenta. who he happens to have known very well. He says, it doesn't work. So you know what I'm going to do for the boys and the girls? Even though you rent Saturday night, Wednesday night, I'm going to make a party, free beer, free admission to my club, free everything. I'm going to bring in food from all over the place. It's going to be the biggest party these boys and girls ever had. Now, I'm renting Matzah Shabbos. He's doing it Wednesday night. What am I going to do? I said, you don't understand what you're doing. You're going to sit in Gehenna forever. You're being machti Klal Yisrael. No, you guys are wrong. You can't stop it. You can't stop it. Boys and girls, natural, you can't stop it. Am I going to have a party Wednesday night? Okay. Good. Fine. All of a sudden, comes Tuesday, that Tuesday, and he told me this Matzah Shabbos. Pool hall's closed. Big sign on it. Closed by the fire department. Closed. Signs all over. Closed. Taped closed. I have pictures. I wanted to bring them tonight. I didn't blow them up yet. So I'm going to mention them. I'll bring it to you next week. Closed. Violation. 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 For sale. For sale. For sale. For sale. Finish. Closed down. Done. We didn't do it. We rented it for Matzah Shabbos. For the boys. We didn't close down this place. Okay. So, we didn't know what happened. None of us knew what happened. Listen carefully. None of us knew what happened. This Friday. Now, one of the guys that's very involved is someone in my bungalow colony who's very involved in the mountains getting votes for the sheriff and for the people. So he's very connected. He was in Israel. He came back. He gets a phone call from the mayor, the manager of Monticello. The manager of Monticello, he's the man on top, above everybody. And he calls this guy and he says, you know, I've been trying to reach you for the last week. I heard you're in Israel. You know we closed down the pool hall. So my friend says, but we didn't ask you to close down the pool hall. We rented the pool hall. We don't need you to close down the pool hall. He goes, no, it has nothing to do with you. He says, the fire department came in on Monday to check for violations, whatever it was. And they went into the basement. Listen carefully, girls. And they went into the basement of this pool hall club. And they found in the basement that the guy who owns the pool hall had antique cars in the basement. And he was repainting them and fixing collision shop, like a collision shop. He was repainting and fixing these antique cars. And he had in the basement enough paint and solvent and torches and gas to fix the cars, that if there would have been one spark, one cigarette butt thrown into that basement, that building would have blown up like a time bomb. He said you would have had 200 dead Jewish children. This is what he tells my friend. He says, there's nothing to do with you. And he ends off and he says, you should know something. He's not Jewish. So you should know something. That your God watches out for your children. That pool hall was on top of a bomb. On top of a bomb. So we went, 8 couples, thinking that we're saving these kids from Averis. Meanwhile, Chas v'Shalom, a tragedy. Nobody would have walked out of there alive. There's nothing to talk about. It was a fire trap. It's a building made out of wood. In the basement was enough solvent to blow up half of Monticello. And then he said, and I want you to know, you could tell the rabbis that were at the meeting, that of every group that we've ever met, we have never met a group that cares about their children as much as you Jews. This is what this non-Jew said. Kiddush Hashem. With all the people saying, yes, no, you should, you shouldn't. Meanwhile, if anyone would have known what was going on in that basement, and that Chas v'Shalom, there's no sprinklers, no fire things, they got... what's it called, the penalties for that also. There was no egress to get out of the building. It would, Chas v'Shalom, would have been a great tragedy. So this Matzah Shabbos, Rabbi Wallerstein got into his car. Baruch Hashem, we rented this Matzah Shabbos for the girls. We rented Kayamisha, and we rented for the boys. We rented a different bowling alley in Liberty Lanes. And Baruch Hashem, we were full the last 2 Shabbos and in both of them. Thanks to Avivit. She never hasn't slept on a Matzah Shabbos the whole summer. She's been up till 6 o'clock every morning watching the sunrise. And sunrise is around 5:44. It's very interesting. Anyway. Listen carefully. So at 2:30, between driving from Kaimisha, the girls this weekend, and going to the boys in Liberty, I decided to go visit the pool hall. It's 2:30 at night, around the time that we got thrown down the steps. And I drive up my car to the pool hall. There's not a person there. Of course not. It's closed. Not a car, not a girl, not a boy, no music. It's dead. And I get out of the car, and I walk to the steps, the step that he threw me down. And I stand on the steps. And I'm telling you exactly what I did. I looked up to Shemayim, and I said, Hashem, you own Monticello. You better believe it. You own Monticello. Nobody else owns Monticello. So, this week's Pasha. When you come into Eretz Yisrael, says Hashem, Bikurim, you're going to build houses, you're going to have trees, and you're going to have plants, and you're going to have fruits. I own Eretz Yisrael. I own this world. Nobody else owns this world. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. Unbelievable. And I thought to myself, listen carefully, I'm a little crazy, you know that. Don't all agree, but a little bit out of the box. So there I am, 2:30 at night by myself, screaming at the sky, you own Monticello. Nebuchadnezzar, a guy drove by, he said, can I help you? You lost. So you won't. Wallerstein's still drinking in the club over there, you know, screaming at Shemayim, you own Monticello, who, where, what, right? I got into my car and I had a thought. And I said, what's up with that mincha, Rav David Feinstein, that he called me into the room in Hatzalah? I'm throwing something out here which is just a thought. But this is a thought that came to me at 2:30 on a Matzah Shabbos. And I said to myself, I know what happened here. Terrible Averis the first 3 weeks that were going on in this place. Terrible Averis. They wrote Xerah in Shemayim. They wrote Xerah. Hashem wrote Xerah. Chas v'shalom. Some kid's going to throw a cigarette butt into that basement and it's going to blow to the sky high. Chas v'shalom, doing all these Averis. Hatzalah. Right? All of Hatzalah, the mountains, 200 kids never burnt. Hatzalah, Chas v'shalom, is going to be all over the place. So in Shemayim they wrote that Hatzalah is going to have to come on a Motzei Shabbos, everyone out of bed, to this terrible tragedy. But Hashem has rachamim on his children. So Hashem says, but I'm going to give them a chance. Either Hatzalah is going to come because children, Chas v'shalom, got killed and got burnt, or Hatzalah is going to come on their own, voluntarily, to take my kids out of here, that they shouldn't do any more averus. It's up to Klai Yisrael how Hatzalah is going to leave this pool hall. Either we're taking kids to a bowling alley, or Chas v'shalom taking kids to a hospital. Rav David Feinstein, was Ruach HaKodesh, this is my thought, said Rabbi Wallerstein, only Hatzalah. Nobody else picks up those kids. Only Hatzalah. Because Hatzalah was written in the Gzeirah that they're going to have to go to that pool hall. Make sure they're the ones who go to the pool hall and take these kids out of there. It's my thought. Nobody said it to me. I don't have Ruach HaKodesh. But at 2:30 at night on a Matzah Shabbat, standing by yourself on Matzah, you get all these different thoughts. That's what came to my mind. What does it have to do with this week's Pasha? When you come to the land, whether it's Monticello or Brooklyn, New York, Liberty or Florida, wherever you are, you should know that I need Hashem Elokech. It ain't no guy. He don't own Monticello. You can own all the politicians. You can own the police. You don't own anything. We're a bunch of wormwood. We're nothing. We're bus of a dumb. Because Baruch Hu owns the world. And that's how Pasha's Kisavo begins. Okay. Now that I got that off my chest, we can talk about tshuva. Tshuva. Okay, first of all, I want to correct, there's a girl here who's a bigger Talmud Chacham than myself. She came over to me last week and she said that she learned in seminary that even though there was never a Ben Sayro Myra, but there was an Isha Yafas Tayar. Last week I said that since there was no Ben Sayro Myra, so there must have not been an Ishi Yifas Toya, because if there was an Ishi Yifas Toya, there was a Ben Sarah Myra. She said, I think I learned that Avshalom's mother, who married David HaMelech, was an Ishi Yifas Toya. And that's why Avshalom, he wasn't a Ben Sarah Myra, but he was very close to Ben Sarah Myra. So I promised her I would research that this week, and she's 100% correct. And not only that, but the Gemara says that there were a bunch of, like Avshalom, they had very long hair tied in ponytails, and all those guys who had these ponytails that were tied in long hair, they were all children of women that were Ishi Yifas Tayar. So my comment of last week that there was no such thing as Ishi Fas Toya because there was no Ben Sarimura was incorrect. And I stand corrected and I thank her for coming over to me after the shir. Okay. So, now, let's talk about tshuva. So before we talk about tshuva, I'd like to talk about the first Aveira. We can see what tshuva is all about. And when she gave Adam to eat, when she gave Adam to eat from the tree and he ate, so it says, their eyes opened up, they realized they were naked, and they dressed themselves in the leaf of a fig tree, and they made clothing. They heard Hashem's voice going in the garden, right? They got dressed. They didn't want to be there. Now, what did Hashem say to them? Hashem said to man, that's actually to both of them, he said to him, Ayeka, where are you? Now, why didn't Hashem say, what did you do? Why did he say Ayeka? Because Baruch Hu should have said, what did you do? You ate from the Eitz Hadas. You didn't have Aveira. What's this question? Where are you? Hashem knew where he was. Right? Hashem is here, Hashem is everywhere. We sing that when we're little kids. Hashem knows what you're thinking. He surely knows where you are. So when you learn this in the Chumash, Hashem says to Adam after he eats in the Eitz Hadas, Ayeka, where are you? You know where I am. What's the question? What's the question, Ayeka? It's a very, very important answer, everybody. The perfection of the human being was twice. The creation of Adam, and when we got the Torah, we said Nase v'nishma. When we said Nase v'nishma, we became that we couldn't die anymore. We were back to the beginning, like Adam, perfection. Nase, we will do v'nishma, we will listen, brought us back to perfection, and we were back like Adam when he was created. What happened after we did the Egel, and then we got back to Satan, and we got back everything, we got back death, and we came back. So, listen carefully. A person, as a human being, created as Adam, we're all good. Everybody in this room is good. The reason we do bad most of the time, and really spending a summer with all these kids, I learned, that most of the times we do bad is not because of we're bad. Right? We're not bad. We're doing it because of peer pressure. Because everyone else is doing it, I gotta do it. But me, myself, really to the core, I'm a good person. But there's a lot of peer pressure, and we do all kinds of crazy things for peer pressure. We do all kinds of crazy things because we're lonely. We do all kinds of crazy things because we want attention. People, a human being was not created to be alone. So for a girl or a boy to get someone to give them attention, we'll pretty much sell ourselves. We'll pretty much do the craziest things. And how many people do crazy things to get attention? The world's full of mishugam. They do it just to get attention. They're not mishugam. So Kadosh Baruch Hu asked Adam, where are you? Ayeka, where are you? You are good. Where's the you? You're so busy with her, them, they, culture. If you would just be you, you wouldn't have done the Aveira. How do you know that? Just turn the page back and look at the story. You look at the story of the Yetzer Hara, this is all of us. And to understand chet, sin, we're going into Rosh Hashanah, we need forgiveness. We have to understand what sin is, right? So, if you look, you see what happens. The nachash was the shrewdest, the smartest of all the animals, right? And he came to the woman. The woman went past the Eitz Hadas, this tree of knowledge, thousands of times. But she was good. And Hashem said, you're not allowed to eat from it. So she wasn't interested in eating from it. There was no reason to eat from it. When did she finally eat from the Eitz Hadas, girls? After the Nachash came and said, what are you doing? Let's hang out. Let's talk. Why don't you eat from the tree? You'll be like Hashem. But herself, she never did this Aveira. She was alive hundreds of years at this point. She never did this Aveira. Zemachloikis. One says that the Aveira was done Erev Shabbos. She wasn't alive so long. We don't understand how long a day was in those days exactly. So maybe she wasn't around so long. But she had no interest in eating from the Eitz Hadas until she had peer pressure. Along came the Nachash and said, hey, hang out with me. Let's eat from the tree. Oh, poet. And we'll grow up. And guess what you're going to see? You're going to see what Hashem knows. What Hashem knows. Bein tov l'ra. She had, all the parents asked me, what's the main reason kids do the wrong thing? So was it the parents? Some people blame the Rebbe. Some blame America. Usually it's a bad friend. You can have the best kid from the best family. Best kid, best school. Everything's great. One bad friend, have a nice life. That's why all us parents, we have to daven to Hashem, siyata d'shmaya, that our kids shouldn't meet that one friend. Who brought Chava down? One bad friend. She made a friend, Anachash. He said, let's talk. She said, let's talk. And they started to talk, and they started to walk. And they started to, I don't even want to say what happened in the story. And they became very good friends. Ah, they became very good friends. Then, she lost her identity. She was no longer her goodness. She lost her identity to the Nachash. Once she lost her identity to the Nachash, he said, you know, you want to be my friend? Try it, you know. He pushed her into the tree. He said, look, nothing happened. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Adam, one word. He said, you want to know how you did this, Aveira? Chavan Adam, Ayeka. You got lost. There's no you anymore. Where are you? Where's the good girl? Had I learned this before I went up there 6 weeks ago, I would have said this to the kids. What are you smoking marijuana for? You don't want to smoke marijuana because he's smoking, she's smoking. You don't need this. You know this is not doing any good for you. All the Aveiros you're doing, you know that's not good for you. Peer pressure. Hey, man, you know, hanging out together. What's up? You know, Rabbi. This is my posse. This is my group, you know. Aren't they cool? You know, 13 kids piled into one car. It's the group. It's the chevra. Yeah, that's what it's all about. I don't want to be alone. I don't want to be a nerd. Someone sees me talking to the rabbi, I'm a nerd. I'm a loser. Because you don't exist anymore. You belong to this group of girls, to this crowd, to this kind of person. You lost who you are. Everybody in this room, you're not allowed to let anybody take you away from yourself. No one has that right. No friend, no man, no person in your life has a right to take a yekka. That a person is lost. When a person does a sin, what do you say? When a person does a sin, you walk away and you say, where am I? I'm lost. How could I have done that? Because there's no more I. That other person took the I away. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he said one word. He didn't say, what kind of sin did you do? He said, the sin was, there's no more you. Ayeka, where is the you? Where are you? And that's something we need to find. We have 2 weeks. Today's Tetzvav, I believe, full moon. 2 weeks left. We have to find out who we are. Ayeka, we have to each ask ourselves, we go home tonight, who am I? I'm her friend? I'm part of this group? I'm an American? I'm in this culture? That's not who you are. That's who they are. Who are you? Who is Hannah? Who is Miriam? Who is Leah? Who is Esther? Look in the mirror. Who am I? Am I my friends? Because they talk to boys. I have to talk to boys. I don't have to talk to boys because they talk to boys. I'm a person. My name is Leah. My name is not Leah Rachel Shoshana, Yehuda Meir and Chaim. That's not my name. Who am I? Maybe you have to look at your cell phone to find out who you are. Today, what are we all? We are our cell phone number. Hi, how are you? What's your name? 917-439-3368. My email, robertwallstein.com, AOL.this.that.this.that. Who are you? Nobody knows who they are anymore. Who you are? You're your cell phone. Or, you're your site on the internet. It's who I am. Imagine, I'm waiting to go to a, I went to a guy gave a name this week. Right? Guy gave a name to his daughter. We give it by, you know, by the Sefer Torah. So a guy gave a name this week. I'm waiting to hear. A guy gives a name, right? Vakara, Shema, B'Yisro, Suzy Chu dot S-O-W at A-O-L.com. That's our names today. I have a list of girls that come to Arnava. One side is their Hebrew name they were given when they were born, and the other side is the name they were given when they got their computer. Everybody has a name on one side, Chaya, on the other side it's, I don't know, call me Zuzu and Zuzu and Wuzu. And then some girls are like, don't let Rabbi Wallerstein see my name on the internet, because I don't want it to see, you know, my address, whatever it is. So who are you? Who are you? Before Rosh Hashanah, find out who you're davening for. Who are you? You're an internet site? You're a cell phone number? Who are you? So we lost ourselves. We don't know who we are. You're a song on the radio? Nebuch. Ayeka, says Hashem. Where are you? Who are you? I think that's one of the things we need to do in the next 2 weeks, is to find out who I am. I am a person. I come into this world alone, and I go out of this world alone. Everyone's born by themselves. Everyone goes by themselves. So therefore, I am somebody. I am one, right? That's the Tzelem Elokim. Hashem Echad, Ushmo Echad, Suzi Echad, Ushmo Echad. There's only one of me. So why am I being controlled by my other 8 friends? Why am I being controlled by this television show? Why am I being controlled by this rock, by this music? Why is this controlling me? Why is this iPod that's in my ears? I'm walking around like a crazy robot all day long. Right? I got this music blowing out my brains. So who are you? You're an iPod. You want to know who I am? Listen to the 200 songs. You know already who I am. Nebuch. We lost our identity. So the first thing in the chait, the first thing the snake took away was Chava's, who she was. He took away who she was. So Kadosh Baruch Hu, when he looked at Chava and Adam, said, Ayeka, who are you? What are you? Where are you? You're lost. That's how you do an Avera. Okay. Now, I scared a lot of people last week. And I got some not text messages, I got some emails. And Baruch Hashem, I spent the whole Shabbos learning Hilchos Tshuva in the Rambam. And I'd like to quote a couple of things that the Rambam says. You don't have to worry. One girl said to me, you said you can't do tshuva, you're machdis harabim. Hashem won't accept your tshuva, what am I going to do? Okay, so I'd like to, it's a little bit late, I don't usually read from the text because all us kids who have ADD, when you start reading from the text, we fall asleep. Not that anyone here has ADD, I'm just saying I might fall asleep in the middle of speaking, so we don't want that to happen. So I'm going to be in and out of the text, but it's very important that I read from the inside of the Rambam so that we understand. Okay, so he says the following, Kol mitzvah shebet Torah, any mitzvah in the Torah, may not say, whether it's a mitzvah to do or a mitzvah that you're not allowed to do. Right? If a person does one of these things, whether you do it on purpose or by accident, when a person does tshuva, and he does tshuva from his sin, you have to admit what you did wrong in front of God. Ish o isha, whether you're a man or a woman, you have to say vidui. Okay. And I want to read you something that the Rambam paskens lahalacha in the first parak. Listen very carefully. Bizman hazeh, this time, she'ein beis hamikdash kayim, where there is no beis hamikdash, ve'ein loy mizbeach, we don't have a mizbeach, we don't have a temple, we don't have a mizbeach, right? Ein shom el tshuva, the only thing we can do to be forgiven is to ask forgiveness from God. Listen carefully. Ha'tshuva mechaperes al kol ha'averos. Tshuva, asking Hashem forgiveness, you can be forgiven on all your sins. Paskins the Rambam. Afilu Rasha, even an evil person, Kol Yomav, his whole life he's an evil person, or she's an evil person. For us, the tshuva ba'achrona, and the last minute they do repentance. Ein maskirin lo shum davar mirishon. When you come to Shemayim, they will never remind you of one of the things that you did wrong. You hear this? Your whole life you're doing averas. You machal Shabbos, you did this avera, that avera. If you do tshuva, and you come to Shemayim, they're not going to repeat one thing that you did wrong. Will not be mentioned because you're forgiven. How do we know this? It says in the pasuk, Rishas HaRasha, the evil that the Rasha does, Lo yikosha ba miyom shuva me Rishai. He will not trip over it. It will not be brought up to him when he does tshuva. He says, and Yom Kippur itself, keeping Yom Kippur itself, just keeping it, also does tshuva for a person. Okay. So we see from there that everybody's tshuva is accepted from Hashem. He says, but if you're going to admit an aveira to Hashem, I did this, I did this, I did this, I did this, the loy gomar b'libay, but you don't do it in your heart. It's just words, right? Then, doimer, it's compared l'toivol to a person who goes to the mikvah, v'sheretz b'yodo, and he has a dead rat in his hands. So you're going into the mikveh with a dead rat, the mikveh doesn't help you, you're still tummy. So you got to get rid of the rat, right? First you have to get rid of the rat. Once you get rid of the rat, you can go to the mikveh. So if you stand on Rosh Hashanah and you ask for forgiveness and you still have all your averus with you, it's not going to work. So first you got to get rid of the rat. You have two weeks to Rosh Hashanah to do tshuva. Rosh Hashanah is not a day for tshuva, girls. Rosh Hashanah is a day to be judged. You got to do your tshuva before Rosh Hashanah. So you got 15 days, 2 weeks to do tshuva before Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is not a day of tshuva. Rosh Hashanah is a day of judgment. And it's very hard to change your judgment. There are three people on Rosh Hashanah. The book opens, Tzadik Gamor, Halavai. A perfect tzadik, they write for life. A Rasha, they write for death. A Beinoni, the person who's in the middle, he hangs out till Yom Kippur, and then they make a decision. Most of Klal Yisrael are Beinonim. So we need at least to get to Rosh Hashanah to be Beinonim, to be in between. To be a tzaddik is almost impossible. You could. To be a Rasha, also is not easy to be. But you want to be a Beinoni. So now's the time. You have 2 weeks now to change. Okay. And he says the following. Okay, he says that when you do tshuva, you should think that you're even. Your scale is even. So one more mitzvah will tip the scale for your life. He says, but you should know that not only your scale is even, but your family's scale is even. Not only is your family scale even, but your city scale is even. Not only is your city scale even, but your country scale is even. Not only is your country scale even, but the world scale is even. So that one mitzvah that you do will save you, your family, your city, your country, and the whole world. And that's how each person has to think when he goes to Rosh Hashanah. My mitzvah is going to save the world. We all think, I can't do anything. But the world is judged, all of us together, and the city, and the town, and the country, and your family. So your mitzvah, that one mitzvah that you're going to throw onto that pile, you know my famous story, which I'm saving, the black and white story, where that one mitzvah can turn the whole thing, can turn your whole judgment. So that's how you have to go into Rosh Hashanah, looking at one more kivut of aim, one more tshuva navera that I did this year, and I'm going to change the whole world. And that's what the Rambam says, you have the power. Okay, but there's a certain Rambam, there's a lot here. There's one that I want to read to you, and then I'll tell you two stories. And he says like this. He says a lot of scary things, but I'm not going to tell you scary things. And he says the following. Val yidma adam bal tshuva, a bal tshuva should not think. Shehu me'rochay mimalas ha-tzadikim. A person who does tshuva should not think that you are not as good as a tzaddik. Because of all the sins that you did, don't think that you are worse than a tzaddik. Listen to the Rambam here. Ein hadavakein, it's not true. Ela ahuv, you are loved. V'nechmad, you are precious. L'fnei habayre, in front of God. Ki'ilu lo'ichatim o'olam, you are considered clean. You're considered like you never sinned. The person who does tshuva, don't think it's like a dirty shirt that you put in the laundry. It's a new shirt. The Zayar says, the person who does tshuva is a beria chadasha, you're a butterfly. You're a new creation. New creation. Don't let the Yetzer Hara tell you, I did this and I did that. Ugh, I'm not going to make it this Rosh Hashanah. I'm going to die. I'm going to get sick. No. It says over here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved the Baal Tshuva. Then the Rambam says something unbelievable. He says, not only this, your reward is great. Because the person who didn't have it, he knows what it tastes like. He knows what lobster tastes like. He knows what a cheeseburger tastes like. He knows what an aveira tastes like. He likes it. He still doesn't do it. He's greater than the biggest tzaddik who doesn't know what a cheeseburger tastes like, who doesn't know what a lobster tastes like. And he passes like this, and he says, "Uparash mimenu." You know what a sin tastes like, and you walk away from it. V'kavash es yetzroi, and you control your yetzahara. Amru chacham, and the chacham is saying, "Makom shemali tshuva oimdim." The place that a bali tshuva stands ain't tzaddikim going rim yochel lamui boy. The biggest tzaddik can't stand there. Now, there's a very big argument about this. What do you mean? A guy his whole life never did anything wrong. He's not as good as the person who sinned for 40 years now. He partied for 40 years, now he did tshuva. Not fair. It's a little fair. This guy partied for 40 years, and now he does tshuva. He's on a higher place than the biggest tzaddik who never did anything wrong. So the big machlekes, what this means. Rambam says, no machlekes. Rambam says very clearly, Kalayma to say, Ma'alosim gedoyla mimailais elush lechotu me'oylam etneishen koshin yitzrim yitzimahem. That a person about tshuva stands in a higher place than a tzaddik because he knows what it tastes like and he walked away from it. And that's greater than anybody else. So just the opposite. Now, I have to be very clear. Oh, great. Oh, so I want to be bigger than a tzaddik. So tonight I'm going to go home and do every aveira, right? Every sin. I'm going to have lobster and cheeseburgers and be Machal Shabbos and do every Aveira. And then I'm going to be about Tshuva. And then I'm going to be bigger than Rav Moshe Feinstein. Right? Rambam says it. Rambam's very clear. And one of the Prokhim before. That if you do an Aveira and you say I'm going to do Tshuva on that Aveira, you'll never get a chance to do Tshuva. You'll die before you get a chance to do tshuva. Hashem will not let you to do tshuva on that. He said, don't think I'm going to go home and do aveiros. We're talking about the person who wasn't born into a religious family. It's not fair, Rabbi Wallace. It's not my fault. My whole life, till I went to yeshiva, I was 17 years old. I ate lobster. I was Machal Shabbos. It's not fair. Said the Rambam, now you're not Machal Shabbos. Now you don't eat lobster. Now you stop talking to boys. You threw away your black music. Huh? You listen to black music your whole life. You like it. You like that garbage. And now you threw away your iPod, you threw away that stuff, 50 Cent is in the garbage, and all the other chevra that you're listening to. You're greater than the person who never listened. You're greater than me, because I never stooped, I never listened to rap. I like music. I'm not going to say I'm a tzaddik. I listen to the Grateful Dead and some other stuff, but not that garbage. That garbage stomp doesn't make any sense. Stomp, a guy screaming curse words at you, that they rhyme, big deal. Who can't rhyme curse words? Any little kid can rhyme curse words. Wow, Rabbi, you have to hear this. The guy told me this summer. You got to hear this rapper. He's unbelievable. It's like, what, what? He says, like, you got to hear his rhymes. I'm like, what? He opened the dictionary and he looked for all the words that rhyme. What is he saying? What's his message? Message? Yeah, what's his message? What's his music telling you? I don't know. I was like, so what are you so excited that he can rhyme two words together? Big deal. And the words that they're rhyming to you. Kedusha, holiness. So when you look at these kids and you ask them, this is how you break it down, man. Break it down. Break down the music. Tell me, like, what you're listening to. Break it down for me. A bunch of curse words that some guy screaming at the top of his lungs. And you should see the pictures of these guys. You would not walk on the street that they're on. They're standing there. Yeah. And what's their words? Kill the cops. Blow up America. Kill your mother. Kill your father. Kill your brother. And we have a bunch of Jewish kids walking around. This is what they're listening to. This is their idol. Good word for it. This is their avodah zarah. So what happened to them? What, are they stupid? They're not stupid. These are smart kids, Jewish kids. They're not stupid. And the answer is, Ayeka! Where are you? There is no you. Because the guy down the block is hopping and hipping and walking with the iPod, with the music, so you're lost. You'll go, oh, that's who. So I got to wear sneakers like him. And I got to wear pants like him where my back pockets are behind my knees. Understand? And it's the whole culture. It's the whole culture because I'm not me anymore. I'm not me. I'm him. Ayeka, says Hashem. Where are you? Where's that girl who's Kaddish, who's holy, who's a Bas Yisrael, who's a daughter of God? Where are you? What did you become? Dancing in a club in Monticello? I should have walked in there and screamed, Ayeka! Where are you? Who are you? What's your name? Leah? Are you Leah? Is that who you are? Named after one of our great mothers? Leah? Rachel? Is that who you are? Because all my friends, you know, all my friends, it's 4 o'clock in the morning, they're there. So I'm also there. So then you're part of the herd of sheep. You know what I mean? We'll get you a shepherd, we'll take you to the desert, we'll hit you with a stick, we'll get you a dog, he'll bark, and you'll follow him. That's what you're doing. Ayeka, where are you? That's what we need to know. Where are you? Hashem says, just come to me, do tshuva. Just ask forgiveness, and you're standing in the highest place. Don't think you can't do tshuva. That Yetzer Hara tells you can't do tshuva. He says, tshuva on the worst aveira. The worst aveira that a person does, because Baruch Hu is mekabel your tshuva. Only if you didn't do tshuva are you cut off from Klal Yisrael. Because it says in the Mishnah, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chelek Olam Haba, every Jew has a portion of Olam Haba. Nobody doesn't have Olam Haba. Okay, so we'll end. And you have to understand, you know, a lot of us went through a lot of stuff in life. I was telling the boys last night, not everyone's born to a religious family. Not everyone's born to loving parents. Not everyone's born with a great brain. We're all born with different tests. Every person. And there are certain things that we have no choice. You know, the three things that happened to Avraham Avinu, Lech Lecha, Me'artzecha, Me'ladecha, Mi'beis Avicha, you have no choice. Who your parents are, it's not like a questionnaire, like when you're born. Okay, we have a million parents lined up at the glass, pick one. You're born, they're your parents, you have no choice. Where you're born, which hospital, It's not like I want to be born in Brooklyn, I want to be born in Wisconsin, I like L.A. How about Florida? No, wherever your parents live, that's where you're born. Who your family is, your uncles, your aunts, your grandparents, it's not your choice. So, Malancha, Beis Avicha, what school you go to, it's not your choice. When you're in first grade or kindergarten, they don't ask you what school. So there's certain things that a person goes through in life, we have no choice. Some people have two parents, some people have one parent, some people have parents that are divorced. The kid asks for divorced parents. So the kid can turn to Hashem and say, Zillow fear. This girl next to me has two loving parents. Her father takes her ice skating. Then he takes her to the zoo. Then he takes her out. Then he takes her here, takes her there. And my father, I see once a week, I have to go to him. And then I got to go to mother. And they both talk bad about each other. And that's how I grew up. Hashem, it's not fear. You didn't give me a choice. I didn't pick this. Right? Or Chas v'Shalom, somebody loses a parent. I didn't pick this. Or a person in a very poor family. That's not fair. Why was I born into a poor family? I could have been born in a rich family. Why was I born in an unreligious family who don't keep anything? I could have been born in Geula, Ner Sha'arim, Terav Arala. I wouldn't have had all these, you know, pants, no pants, long dress, short dress. I have no choice. Very happy. I would grow up a Rav Arala girl. Right? So the question is, why are we born? We have no choice. So it's not fair. So Hashem, you're very mean. It's not fair. I didn't pick this, these parents. I didn't pick this school. I didn't pick this amount of brains. I didn't pick this personality. I didn't pick this looks. Look at this girl. She walks around. All the boys are following her. And I'm not so pretty. Nobody's following me. And it's hard for me to get a date. You know, it wasn't my choice. I didn't pick on that button what I want. The truth is, we learned a long time ago that you did pick it. Because for your test on this world, you have to pick certain ways that you're going to have to run through the test. But the truth is that there are certain things in our life that we didn't pick. So that means we have no choice. No bechiru. Certain things, no bechiru. Who my parents are, no bechiru. So what does Hashem want from me? And if my parents are divorced and it wasn't my choice, why'd you do this to me, Hashem? Why did you do this? It's such a great question. Why did you do this? Why? I want religion. I want Shabbos all my life. And you gave me parents that don't keep anything. I was born in Kansas. I don't know nothing. Even Dorothy wasn't Jewish. Nothing. She went to the Wizard of Oz. She asked him, can you send me to Yeshiva? Oh, okay, anyway. So therefore, it's funny, but it's not funny. So therefore, it's a very big question on all our lives. And everybody goes through certain stuff. I went through certain things as a kid. Everyone goes through things that were not your choice. What's your choice that you dug that hole? You made that bed. That's your problem. But there's a lot of things Hashem doesn't give us a choice. So the question is why? The question is why? And the answer is that whatever we go through in life that's not our choice, was given to us to help somebody else. To help somebody else. So a person who comes from divorced parents, for whatever reason, his mission to fix in this world is to be able to help a child that comes from divorced parents and not say, I'm depressed and I'm on pills and I'm in therapy and life sucks and it's the worst thing that ever happened to me in the world. Then you failed. Then you failed. What you're supposed to do is say, this is what Hashem gave me. I don't have a choice. I'm going to make the best of it. And you know what? I'm going to meet a girl much later on, and she's going to say, you don't understand what I'm going through. My parents are divorced. And you're going to say, I understand. My parents got divorced when I was 14. How old were you when your parents got divorced? Also 14. I don't understand. You're married, and you're successful, and you have children. How did you do it? And she says, you could do it too. And all of a sudden, this kid's like, I could do this too. So the pain and the hell that you went through, you're going to make the Gan Eden for the other person. But if you don't do that, then you wasted your whole trip. Like by Esther Hamalka, which I say every year. Esther Hamalka lost her father when her mother was 3 months pregnant. She lost her mother when she was born. And everybody stood there, you could imagine, by that Leviah of her father. And they said, God, you're so mean. This girl will have no father, PTA. She'll have no father to take her out. But at least she has a mother. And then on childbirth, her mother dies. And this poor little orphan girl, no mother, no father. Mean God. And what does Mordechai say to Esther? He says, Esther, if you don't go in front of Ahasuerus, you're lost, and your whole household is lost. Hey, calm down. This poor girl had no parents her whole life. She's a Yesoma. That's not how you talk to an orphan. She had no father, no mother. That's what you tell her. And if you don't go to Ahasuerus, you're lost and your family's lost. Tell her, please, try. Don't be nervous. And if you're too nervous and you can't go, I'll send someone else. Where's the niceness here? Mordechai wasn't being mean. Mordechai was telling Esther, you lost your parents for a reason. It wasn't your choice that your father died and your mother died. It wasn't your choice. So Hashem did it for a reason. What's the reason, says the Medrash? Because Haman said to Ahasuerus, we have nothing to worry about because I come from Esav, and Esav is perfect in Kibbutz Avayim.
So Hashem had to create a girl that would take Haman down. That was also perfect in Kibbutz Haim. So Hashem took her parents away. So she never ever said a word bad to her parents, because her parents were never alive to say a bad word. She never did Kibbutz Haim. She cried every day. And she said, Hashem, I don't miss my mother and father. They don't take me to the zoo. I don't miss my mother and father. They don't take me to PTA. I miss my mother and father because I don't have a mitzvah. Everybody has a mitzvah. Everybody can help their parents, and I can't. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, she can take down Haman. Haman's whole schutz is Esav, who did Kibbutz Haim. This girl never, ever did anything wrong to her parents. She never had them. And she honored them by every day crying that she couldn't do Kibbutz Haim. So Esther was the only one in the whole world who could destroy Haman. So Hashem, so Mordechai, who knew this, said to Esther, Esther, the only reason that your mother and father died is to take down Haman. If you don't go in front of Achashverosh, Beis Avich, the loss of your father, the death of your father, and the death of your mother was wasted. Because if you weren't going to help Chai Yisrael, they could have lived, taking the PTA to the Bronx Zoo, to the aquarium, to have a good life. The only reason they died was for you to save Chai Yisrael. If you don't use it, you abused it, you lost it. So everything that we go through in life, girls, all the pain and all the stuff that we're going through in life, it's only to help somebody else. It's only to help someone else grow. To be able to say, you know, many times I speak out of town, not here. And the first question they ask me is, Rawalsi, can I ask you something? I'm like, yeah. Are you about tshuva? Were you like irreligious when you were young? I'm like, no, sorry. I'm like, was your father a priest? I'm like, nope. Anything like really crazy bad happened in your family? Nope. Well, you know, I feel like left out. Like, I wish my father was a priest, you know? Because I can't talk to these people because they're not religious. They're coming from an irreligious background. They look at me and say, you can't tell me anything. You don't understand my pain, Rabbi Wallerstein. You weren't born like this. And they're right. And if I would walk in, and if I was about tshuva, and for 20 years, I ate pork, and I ate lobster, and I ate shrimp, and I walked in and said, you want to see a picture of me? I show them a picture of me with long hair and a guitar, smoking weed in McDonald's. I don't have to give a shear. That's the shear. Because when they look at that picture, and then they look at me now, they say, wow, he did it, I could do it. So I got to work for 2 hours and give reasons and explanations and kill myself, where another guy would walk in and he went through the hell that they're going through, they just look at him and say, I don't even have to hear a word he says. He made it, I can make it. And that's why we go through things in life. That wasn't my thing. I went through my stuff, whatever it is. Every person goes through their stuff in order to help other people. To help a friend. And there will be a friend that will come along and say, oh man, I don't know what to do, I'm in this situation. And you'll pull him over and say, don't tell anybody, but I was also in that situation. And I made it. And my marriage is good today. And my kids are good today. And I stepped away. And that's why the Rambam says, you step away, you're bigger than the biggest tzaddik. Because the biggest tzaddik can't talk to that person. Because what's he doing? He's going to walk in and he's going to give them a schmooze. He's going to say, you're born in Meir Sha'arim. What are you talking to me? I'm born in Oklahoma. I'm born on a ranch. What are you telling me stories? So that's why we go through the things that we go. Rabbi Stern, who spoke here 2 weeks ago, he told me a mashal that his Rebbe told him, I'll end with this, and he said there was an Israeli crack unit, and they were in the times of, there was a lot of spying going on. They were scared that there was a leak in the Mossad. So they had to go into Syria, into the behind the lines in Syria. They didn't want to tell this crack unit what they had to do. Because they were scared if they told them what they had to do, then one of them's a spy, then they're all going to get killed. So they put them on a plane, and they parachuted them, they dropped them. And right before they dropped them, they asked the general, you're about to drop us behind lines. What do I do? What do I do? There are 5 guys. What do I do? What am I supposed to do? He said, just take your backpack. When you get to the ground, open it up, you'll know what to do. So they all foot. They're going to open it up. There's going to be a paper. Chaim, do this. Moshe, do this. Yehuda, do this. No, no paper. Guy opened up his backpack. One guy had huge communications telephone. He said, I'm the communications guy. He wrapped it on. He put it on. Next guy had a rifle with a scope. I'm the sniper. That guy had an anti-tank launcher. I'm the anti-tank guy. Each guy looked in his pack and saw what he's supposed to do without anyone telling him. We all have that backpack, every one of us in this room. You don't need me to tell you what to do in life. You just have to look into your backpack and see what your koyach is. What's my strength? I'm good at law. I'm going to be a lawyer. So then be a lawyer and take on a kid or somebody that needs a law, a Jewish person that needs it for free, who doesn't have money, take on that case. You're a doctor, you're very good with medicine, so become a doctor and take a couple of kids, Jewish people who can't pay, and take them for free. You're a dentist, you're a social worker, you're a psychologist, so take 2-3 kids along your work and take them for free because they don't have money. Look in your backpack and see what your koyach is, what your strength is, and that's what you're supposed to do. Imagine, I speak a lot. You come to that realization that I talk a lot. As a kid, I used to tell all kinds of stories. When my teacher asked me where my homework was, if you think I talk a lot now, an hour and 15 minutes I explained where my homework is. Told him the whole story of the dog, and then it got into the fish tank, and it went from here, and it went from there, and went from there. And the teachers loved it, because they're like, okay, Wallerstein, tell the class the story. It took me an hour and 15 minutes. So here I am, growing up, I'm a great storyteller. My teachers always said, he's a great storyteller, but I'm failing him anyway. I said, ooh, let me tell you a story about a guy who failed, and I had a story about everything. Now imagine, right, I have a plastic bag business. I think I'm a pretty good salesman. Pretty good salesman, you know, I could talk you into buying bags, even if you don't need them, right? Such a koyach. So after 120 years, I come up to Shemayim, and they say, New Wallerstein, what'd you do? Now, what did I do? I sold 240 billion plastic bags. And I used to tell stories and make excuses, and I had these crazy stories, and I even wrote a book that's in Barnes & Noble, a bestseller. They say, come Wallerstein, let's show you what you were really supposed to do. You never looked in your backpack and never figured out what you're really supposed to do. You're supposed to give shiurim, you're supposed to open up an arnava. Baruch Hashem, at this point, between Kol HaLashon, between all this, probably since I started giving shiurim in my life, I probably gave, I would say, 200, maybe 250,000 hours of shiurim. Now, don't get so impressed, because I'm doing tshuva on all the time that I wasted and I didn't learn. I still have about 1,250,000 hours to go, at least. Okay, because I didn't learn one word till I was, I don't want to tell you how old. I'm 50 till I was 49 and a half. I didn't learn one word. But anyway, so imagine if I would come up to Shemayim and they would say, we gave you a koyach. We gave you the ability to speak in public. You're not scared to speak in public. We gave you the ability to give over Hashem's word. What did you do? You sold bags! You came back with 2 billion bags! What a waste. That's not why Hashem gave you. Go back down again! I got to tell all my stories all over again. Imagine that. So everybody here, you have a koyach to be a lawyer, to be a doctor, to be a therapist, to whatever, a teacher, whatever is in your bag. You know what you're good at. So, oh, Rabbi, I looked in my bag. Listen carefully. I got this last night. I looked in my bag. I'm not good at anything. I said, oh, you're good at something. He said, what? You're modest. You're a big anav. Imagine a person looks in his bag, right? And he comes back and says, nah, I'm not good at this, I'm not good at that, I'm not good at this. He said, oh no, I said, you're the biggest tzaddik. You're very modest. So you came into your back and you found modesty. So you could teach modesty. You could teach someone that, you know what, whatever you think you are, you're not so, modesty, we're all people, we belong to Hashem, we're connected. You have to look in that bag, girls, and you have to see, what is your koyach? And whatever that is, that's what you need to use for Hashem. And all the pain, and I know a lot of us have pain, everybody goes through stuff in life that wasn't their choice. Why did Hashem make you go through that? Logically, tell me, girls, why did Hashem make you go through that? There can only be one reason. Either you think he's very mean, so then you don't believe in Hashem altogether, right? Because he doesn't need to create you to be mean. So if he created us and he did things that we had no choice, that's to give us the ability to use that disability to be an ability. I think, I'm going a little bit out of the box, I think, and sort of the Medrash says this, girls, that Moshe Rabbeinu, he burnt his tongue and his mouth. Now, I don't know if anyone, you know, I had a little speech, my lisp, but anyone who has, I have a boy that stutters very bad, that's one of my talmidim. It's so hard for him. He can't go out with girls. He has so low self-respect. It's so hard for him because he stutters and until he gets what his thoughts out. It's very hard for him to make friends. So he's willing to make whoever will be his friends, you know, and he can't even imagine dating a girl and getting into a car and stuttering. Right? So here Hashem takes this little boy, Moshe Rabbeinu, right? And the Medrash says he burnt his tongue. He didn't have to burn his tongue. He could have touched the fire and put his hand in water to put it in his mouth. That's silly. Right? He burnt his mouth on purpose. And he burnt his tongue on purpose. And the Medrash says that Hashem didn't fix it. Is that fair? Think about it. Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I want you to go to Mitzrayim and I want you to take the Jews out. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, okay, you got a deal. You be my speech therapist. Okay? You're God. You're talking from a bush. Right? The fire is not burning the bush. You're Hashem Echad, Ushmo Echad. should not really be a problem for you to just fix my stutter. And Hashem did it. And he went to Mitzrayim, and he spoke to Paro, and he stuttered, and they laughed at him. And he was an aral sefasayim. It's a machlokes if it ever got fixed. So the question is, why? And I thought to myself that if Moshe Rabbeinu, the Jewish nation, Moshe Rabbeinu, the leader of Klal Yisrael, stutters and has a burnt mouth, and Hashem picked him, that stutter, that burnt mouth, that disability gave all the people in Klal Yisrael who had a disability the ability to overcome. Why? Because they walked around and they said, so big deal, so I don't speak so good. Look at him! Look at Moses! Look at Moshe! He's the leader and he doesn't speak well. So Moshe suffered in order to help other people. And that's our koyach. And Mitzvah Hashem, Tuesday, I'm starting yeshiva. Yeshiva Crown Heights, where I teach. And my opening meeting, no one in this room should ever forget this. Every single year, my opening meeting is to the teachers. There's ADD, and there's ADHD, and there's ABCD, and there's EFIG, and there's all kinds of stuff. And there's all kinds of stuff. And I always tell them, but there's L-O-V-E. And L-O-V-E fixes all the other stuff. But I tell them the following, and I leave you with this thought. I say, listen to me. This disability, you're going to have a kid, he's hyper. He's jumping off the roof. You're going to have a kid that's depressed. You're going to have a kid whose parents are getting divorced. You're going to have a kid that a parent just died. You're going to have a kid that a parent is sick. You're going to have a kid that his sibling is sick. You're going to have a kid that his grandmother is sick, but he's taking it very seriously. You're going to have a kid who's listening to his parents scream at each other, we don't have money for school! And he's thinking, why don't I go to public school? What are they doing? And he's going to have people that the parents are screaming at him. You're going to have a classroom full of all kinds of situations. Don't judge these kids. Because the only mouth that God ever kissed was a mouth that had a disability. Peh el peh, Hashem said, I'm not speaking to anyone, but I'm only speaking to that mouth that has a disability. Because the mouth that has a disability has the ability to help another mouth that has a disability. And therefore, anyone in this room who's going through stuff, you want Hashem to kiss you? You want Hashem to love you? Use that stuff to help somebody else. But first, you got to get over the stuff. Because Chas v'Shalom, it can run the other way. Because if that stuff's going to cause you to be depressed, and you're not going to be sociable, and you're going to walk around with your head down, then you lost the whole reason it was given to you. And you are lost, Ubei Savich is lost. The whole reason that your parents, that you were put into a house of parents that are divorced, is because Hashem thought you could overcome it and help kids of parents that are divorced. But if you're going to walk around depressed, how are you going to help somebody else? So the first thing you need to do in the next 2 weeks is to find out, Ayeka, where am I? Am I depressed? Am I lost because of all this? Or am I going to stand up and say, Kosh Baruch Hu, I accept it, and I'm going to use it. And I'm going to look at my backpack, and whatever's in that backpack, I don't need you to tell me, God, you don't have to send me dreams, and Rabbi Wolfsky doesn't have to tell me what I should be, and my teacher doesn't have to tell me what I should be. No one can tell you who you should be. You have to look in your backpack and see, where's my talent? And whatever that is, I'm going to use this year. And I think if we all accept that, this Rosh Hashanah, that this year, Hashem, whatever you gave me in my life, good or bad, I'm going to use for you, then I have no question that everyone in this room and Klal Yisrael will have a ksiva v'chasima tayva. Thank you.
Thank you very much.